for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. So with non-league finals day on Sunday, the season of 22-23 is pretty much completed. But as we know, with lots of allocation queries and appeals still to come, that doesn't mean it's done and dusted. There's undoubtedly silverware to be had in the AGM Cup. But let's take a look back at Sunday's non-league finals days. For those that were there, I think, once again, the general consensus was that a great day was had by all, and consider how lucky we are that competitions that are competed for by clubs that are many steps away from the top tier of the professional game, we are able to celebrate and enjoy the big day of those games at Wembley, the home of football. So an early start, even for those clubs in the FA Vars final, were notably, once again, much more southerly based than the finals we've seen competed there for before. The changes in the pyramid and promotions of some clubs who for years maybe were falsely playing at a lower level has begun to level out the competition, and fairly level it was too on the day. We had two sides had different stories behind them. Newport Pagnell Town, last year's winners, who reached this stage for a second year running under gaffer Gary Flynn, but who could only finish third in their highly competitive league division. Up against them were first-timers at Wembley Ascot United, who were runaway winners of their league and indeed prolific scorers both there and in the FA Vars this season. It was a tight affair with just a single goal making the difference just 10 minutes from a time. Post-match, Newport Pagnell Town gaffer Gary Flynn was notably disappointed but reflective too.
Yeah, obviously it's a gutting scenario, you know, like I've just been having to do a couple of interviews and speaking about it, and everyone's the fine margins that it is, you know, on opportunities were probably about the same. They just got us one the right side of the post, we got us the wrong side of the post, so it is we had opportunities, you know, no faults, no blames, it just, you know, just wasn't quite there at our level today just to get the chances finished. It's been amazing 15-16 months whatever for the football club and me personally, and 80% of the group, you know, but at the moment, you know, they're hurting, and the new lads are, you know, just as bad. So we'll always look back at the game and have an assessment on it. But we'd have liked the early substitutions. I don't know if they help. It certainly doesn't help because Chorty got a nasty bang, so we had to make a defensive substitution, if you like. So that probably didn't help us. We thought it was going to be a tight game. You know, it was going to be close. So we had sort of three in mind. And we only probably managed to get one of them on the pitch because of the different circumstances it was. So that's the way the game panned out. Unbelievable, really. You know, there was just over 6,000, I think it was, in the end. So credit to them. Just a shame we couldn't just get the result, just that little bit of a result for them. But can't thank them enough. Brilliant experience, you know, win or lose. Obviously, you know, I know it's an easy thing to say now, but look, you know, we said it before, even when we won last year, that getting to play here, getting the build-up the week to play at Wembley for these players, you know, to manage a team like this is was a winning final in itself, but just not quite the cherry on the top at the moment. It's half-term coming up, so I'm getting away with the family, which would be nice. So one more week, unfortunately, getting back to work next week, and then the following week I've got a holiday. So that would be probably well-deserved. At the moment, obviously, the defeat is at the forefront of your mind, so it's that's what you're thinking about. But once we, you know, in a day or two, we sit back and look at it and just, like I said, the 15, 16 months or whatever it's been when we started the season before from the Vars run, you know, that's not really sure how many rounds or how many games that have been. So one loss in 15, 16, will we get to Ollie or whatever it would be for the rounds? Calling you out there, aren't I? But, yeah, you know, it will set them up for a good few years. Hopefully, we got the stand done last year from lots of the money, and a few of the boys got a bit of a pay rise that played for the last season, which was very much deserved. So hopefully they get some bit more of the facilities done, and they get themselves a competitive squad for next season.
Ascot Town's Jamie Tompkins, who grew up just a handful of miles from Wembley Stadium, had a grin ear to ear, but with a slightly stunned look too.
Unbelievable, you know, what a moment for all the players and staff and everybody associated to the football club, you know, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch, all the volunteers, all the staff that have been involved for many, many years. It's a really, really proud moment for them to see their club badge on the pitch at Wembley Stadium, but to go and win it and bring that trophy home, phenomenal. The league was the main target, and I don't think it would have been the same coming here if we didn't win the league, because our ultimate objective was to win promotion and move into Step 4 football. And we've got that to look forward to now. This is the icing on the cake, but of course, if you're going to come here, you want to go and win it, right? So, and we've done that, so incredible. They've got two very good strikers and a player who plays in behind them, Mo Ahmed, who are brilliant players. And we've worked really hard to prepare to stop them and stop them getting the ball. So they end up going a bit longer, and that helped our defenders manage the game better. But we just lacked a lot of control in the central midfield. But we changed that at half time. I think we started to get a little bit more of a grip of the game, but then tiredness comes into it. And how we scored with a cross is something we've worked really hard on across the year. We score a lot of goals from crosses. And Sean McCormack, who's, you know, man of the match today, unbelievable. We knew if he played well, we've got a chance. And he's put a great ball in the box for Kai Walters to score. And what a moment for him and his family. It's his last game as well. He's moving to Australia. And, you know, he can now say he's his last game's at Wembley Stadium, scoring the winning goal, you know, unbelievable. It sums up how we play, and, you know, great quality at the right moment, and we saw the game out. It was a bit like a boxing match. You know, they had a go, we had a go. And it always, I think, two really good sides, it's come down to the last moment where tiredness plays its part, and, you know, whatever happened, happened, but a little bit more space is created, and that's where the quality can really start to shine. And unfortunately, we had that little bit of an edge in the final part of the game. Yeah. Our goal, no matter what, is we just want to keep getting better. You know, we've got a great chance next year to continue the progress, and keeping this squad together has been brilliant, because of the whole togetherness has been so strong, and that's the reason why they've got to this point. They're a great bunch of mates, and you know, we've got brothers in there, Alfie Grant, Harry Grant, and they really work hard for each other. So keeping that squad together will mean more success in the future. How soon that will come, let's see, but we're working so hard to continue it. Yeah. I just enjoy watching the players enjoy their moment. You know, they're the ones that put the hard work in. It's just nice just to see them, just watch them and realise what they've done. And you know, there's a lot of emotion out there, and it's just, just trying to make the most of it as much as we can. These opportunities don't come by very often, right? It's maybe the only time we ever get to be here. So, one of our players has been here twice, but I'll take that moment later on, I think. Once we digest it all and we get back to the club, we're going to really enjoy ourselves tonight. And I'll be with my wife. It's our first wedding anniversary today. So, you know, it's a special day for more than one reason, and we're just going to just sit down and just try and take it all in. It's one of the largest clubs in the south of England, with over 80 teams. So there's a huge workforce of volunteers off the pitch and staff that put a lot of time and effort to keep the club running on a day-to-day basis. You know, the likes of Abby, who's obviously in this room right now, has been absolutely fantastic, by the way. But our chairman, Simon Negus, Neil Richards, our director of football, Joe Gavin, our general manager, Dan Birchmore, our secretary, you know, they're, and there's so many more, Lisa, Sam, Doug, you know, they've had such an impact on this club and where the club's going. We want to keep growing as a club. We've got brilliant support from the race course. We want to help us build more facilities and accommodate more players. And if we're getting over 1,000 young boys and girls coming to the football club every week, that's a huge community hub there. And bringing trophies is really nice, but we're getting more people playing football, first and foremost. And of course, they get to enjoy the trophy when it comes back.
So with those Ascot Town group off partying, the fans from FC Halifax Town and Gateshead assembled on the other side of Wembley with a big sound. And whilst the support and cheers carried on, there wasn't too much to cheer for them. The game needed a goal, and when it came almost by accident just before half-time, it was a poor back pass, a keeper clearance clattering against a striker, and it gave FC Halifax a lead that they never surrendered. Post-match, the always amiable Mike Williamson seemed a little affronted. I suggested he was understandably a little downbeat, having just watched his much-depleted Gateshead side lose on their big day.
Well, if I seem downbeat, then I better cheer up a little bit. But I'm not. I'm generally, I'm not. Like I say, the reflection on things might come at a later date for the lads. But yeah, I'm immensely proud of that group of players. I'm immensely proud of the club itself, the fans, the supporters. It's been a really tough season, especially off the back of the last season when you know we experienced so many highs. And how wow, everyone's really stuck together. We've backed each other, we've kept fighting, we've kept wanting to improve, and we've come into you know an incredible one-off game that I think will last in the memory of all those boys. And that experience is going to put them in good stead for the rest of their careers. You know, everything about it has been fantastic, but generally it's the on the field with those boys, and it's seeing the emotions that they go through and the reward they get. And after such a long, hard, grueling season, you know, we deem all of this as a success, and we want to build on that. Northeast people, they're very passionate and very dedicated. That's why I moved back up there, because I loved it. They're close to my heart, and obviously they've had to deal with a lot of frustration and pain this year, and the majority of them, the core of them, stuck with us, backed us, even when we looked dead and buried. Everyone stuck together, and especially at the club, and hopefully this can go, you know, a certain way of the last couple of weeks. It's just having a focal point, having building that energy and the positivity, and you know, the time with the families, and then come here and an enjoyable experience. Would have been nice, obviously, to get over the line, but it doesn't take away everything that we've had for the last month.
Meanwhile, winning boss Chris Millington, equally as approachable and affable, was happy, of course, but as he admitted, also a little relieved.
Yeah, it was certainly a fantastic day. The overriding feeling at the moment is relief more than anything. You know, we're very mindful that we didn't want to come away from today on the wrong end of the result. So yeah, it'd probably take a day or two for the win to sink in with me and to really enjoy the victory. But yeah, it's been a fantastic day all around, and just grateful to be on the right end of the result.
And it was interesting to note his recipe for success. That unity, togetherness that we so often talk about with successful sides on this show. For FC Halifax Town, that's possibly more of a necessity, but an essential ingredient nonetheless.
It's been a turbulent season for us, and you know, for a lot of people around the club, we're small in number, but you know, mighty in terms of commitment. And there's each department, we've got people doing over and above, you know, going beyond. So there's been moments where I know for those around me, it will have been tough, but their approach and their consistency has been phenomenal, and the loyalty unfailing. And you know, the players have been similar. In some really tough moments, they've been outstanding. And I think it's the character of all of the players, but in particular, it's great to see the character of the young players who, you know, a lot of them are in their first full season in National League football, in first team football. So that's really pleasing and quite exciting going forward. We've done a lot of work over the last few weeks in terms of preparing targets, people we want to try and bring into the football club. We have to do things a bit differently because we don't have the finances of the vast majority of teams in the National League. We have to find young, hungry players who really want the opportunity to come and amass 40, 45 National League games in a season, and have the ability to do that, not only technically and tactically, but physically. You know, you look at Angelo Capello, who's 5 foot nothing, but he's an absolute monster. You know, the lad, he just keeps going, and he's very robust. And he's hungry and he's committed, and they're the characteristics we need. And if they've got the ability that these lads have got, then you know we're onto a good thing. Yeah, well, it was something that me and Pete Wild, the previous manager, were very keen on when we first came in. Was trying to, at the time, the club had two clubhouses with 8 bedrooms in them, and you know that means that it's just an easy option to recruit from a much broader field. So the decision was taken to take away one of the houses, which halved the number of bedrooms to 4. So, you know, that really narrow focused us on lads who were Yorkshire-based, ideally Yorkshire-born and bred. You know, I'm a Mancunian, so it's it was really out of a desire to connect players who really wanted to play for the club, fans with the players who were out representing them on a weekly basis, and a place where people could see a home and an opportunity to develop and give themselves a platform to move on. We want to get into the Football League. Listen, we're not going to sort of hide away from that. So we can't just be a platform for people to come in and springboard them into the Football League without us. We need to be able to hold on to them long enough to get us in there. But clearly, you know, our ethos is around developing young, hungry players. And if we can get them from as close to Halifax and within Yorkshire, then it makes it even better. All of the lads out there, I know I'm biased, so I'm careful in how I say it, I think. But I think they're fantastic human beings. We will, as a staff, drive them mad at times, and likewise, a number of them drive us crazy at times. But the level of sacrifice they make, you know, they don't have all the bells and whistles, they don't have all the frills at Halifax Town. They rock up in the middle of February when it's freezing cold, it's wet. We're based, we've got all the facilities we absolutely need, but it's not always comfortable, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So there has to be a steeliness and a determination about them, and nobody epitomises that more than Sam Johnson. You never hear a moan out of him, you never hear a problem out of him. He turns up, he does his work, he makes as little fuss as possible, and he's now somebody who all the other players look up to and respect. When he speaks, which isn't that often, everyone listens because it's something of value from a good, honest person who's got a wealth of experience, especially in this competition.
And so the season ends. But first, rounding up the week's news, including the National Game Awards also held this week, John Couch returns to the show before we head off for a brief summer break. Plenty to come first, though, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So time then to head on over to non-league paper towers at probably now for the last time this season. It's a welcome back to the fore to the non-league football show's executive editor, Mr. John Couch. Welcome, John.
Tim, how are you?
Recovering. It's been a long, long week in football already, and there's not been much football played. But the football, I guess, is over now, isn't it? And I'll be honest, it wasn't. There weren't classic cup ties at Wembley on Sunday for non-league finals day, but the atmosphere for all attending was magical. It's something I don't think any other sport, any other footballing nation, any other pastime can probably compete with. Because here we have clubs from steps 1 to 5 on the day competing at what many see is the home of football.
That's right. I mean, it was our favourite day of the year, and it never does disappoint. And you're right, they weren't in terms of the quality of the show on the pitch. It wasn't the best we've had this year, but certainly the occasion never disappoints. As you say, you know, you've got four teams, four sets of players who are literally fulfilling every childhood dream, and then there's the families and the supporters of those clubs who come in their droves, you know, from Yorkshire and from Tyneside, and you know, to get a crowd of 28,000, you know, a long way to come for those two teams. And let's not forget the two Vars guys. I think it was 8,000 from Newport Pagnell. Ascot brought 6 or 7, I think. I mean, they're incredible numbers, you know. And they enjoyed their day at Wembley in the sun, and it was another outstanding occasion. I think Chris Middleton was saying afterwards, you know, he was almost like a little boy lost, you know, when he walked out of Wembley. As experienced as him, even he got overcome a little bit by the emotion. It was just one of those days, which will live long in the memory. And whether you win or lose, or it goes to extra time or penalties or whatever, I don't think it takes that away from the occasion. Yes, it's nice to win at Wembley, but the two losing sides, Gateshead and Newport Pagnell. Obviously, they won it last year, but Gateshead and Newport Pagnell supporters and players will still go away with those great memories of having played at Wembley and to tread on the hallowed turf. It's tremendous, really.
Well, that's it. I mean, when we start talking about the FA Vars next season, I'm sure there'll be people that will interview that have been losing finalists. But it is that day out at Wembley. It just evokes so many memories. And what's always nice about non-league finals is because it's about the four clubs that are in the finals there, but it's also about the fans of non-league. There's people, you know, that are involved in leagues, that are involved in local county associations, that are just fans, they're groundhoppers. It took me, you know, a good hour to walk. I always like to do the Wembley Way walk. Wherever I get to park or whatever station I come into, I like to just feel part of the atmosphere. But you then end up bumping into people that you probably haven't seen all year and having a chat and just enjoying non-league.
That's right. I mean, there was a guy sat behind me from Gateshead. He runs a news agency that we actually run very, very close alongside Jeff Bowen. And I spoke to Jeff Bowen on the phone probably twice a week, I think, for the last 10 days. I actually met him for the first time, which is incredible. And it was sort of talking, like a bear hug almost, because yeah. You know, it was sort of we knew each other but we didn't. But as you say, though, Tim, that's basically what it's all about. I mean, like just the day as a whole. I mean, at non-league paper, we know many people who support various different clubs who make a point of going to get a non-league finals day. Whoever's playing, irrespective of. Who's gracing the turf, and they'll be there to celebrate non-league football, and it's great to have BT Sport there supporting it as well. That's another tremendous feat which non-league football can be very proud of, and just the whole occasion and the smiles on faces afterwards. You know, even if your team didn't do so well, you know, as you say, it's just being there. It was being at Wembley and just enjoying that Wembley experience. Obviously, it's nice that the weather held off as well. So it was a nice sunny day. It was just a really nice, relaxing day where you could just enjoy your football. It's just a shame that the games weren't the best, but I think we can forgive them that, because it's been a long, hard season for all four of those clubs, and those players must be they're probably on their sun lounges right now, and
rightly
so.
Yeah, it might be distant memories alongside the cocktails that are they're supping beachside. But yeah, going back to that football, the FA Vars final, it looked to be heading to extra time, didn't it? Then 10 minutes to play. What a story that sub Kai Walters comes on because of that head injury early on. Scores a header from the cross from Sean McCormack, who was many people's man in the match, wrapped it all up. Ascot United's second big trophy of the season alongside that combined counties Premier North title. And then it appears that he's disappearing.
That's right. You talk about players being on this sun lounge. I'd love to know where Kai Walters is right now. I think he's apparently he's heading off to Australia this week. So that was his last game in English football. Where Kai is, I don't know. But as you say, what a story! What a way to end up, and you know, to score a winner for your club at Wembley in front of you, in front of 6,000 of your of your club's fans. Unbelievable! I thought it was quite an intriguing encounter, actually. The Vars Ascot manager Jamie Tompkins told me he thought that Newport Pagnell, because of their because of the experience of having it last year, would probably start as favourites, and you know, they had to match them from the off. And I thought they did that. I thought they started okay, but Newport Pagnell come right back into it, and they were probably the better side for long periods. Without really, they're a bit unlucky. They hit the woodwork a couple of times as well, and there were times when Ascot were holding on. But I just felt that when they brought on the striker Marcus Smealing, he's been around non-league for a long time, very experienced guy. I thought he gave them that extra dimension that really sort of turned the tie. And
he just seemed to take pressure off his own players, but pressure on the Newport Pagnell players as well. It was like they played their joker, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was very much like that. And, I think chance within about 30 seconds of coming on, and then from the resulting corner, he smashed a bullet header against the bar, and all of a sudden you could see the sort of tide turning a little bit. As I say, Ascot's toes were up, and Newport were probably thinking, "Christ, who's this guy?" So and it did give the tie. You could just see a shift in power, sort of in that sort of 10 minutes, and it was in that 10 minutes where they got the winner. And what a moment for Kai Walters, and what a moment for Ascot United.
We say that there was woodwork hit several times in the VARS final. We had a similar scoreline in the trophy final. Jamie Cook, though, was the match winner for FC Halifax Town as they defeated Gateshead. But, I mean, his wasn't even a full-blown chance, was it? I mean, basically, he charged down the Heeds goalkeeper, Jamie Montgomery's, tried to clear the ball. And it's sort of, I mean, am I being too unkind? I mean, he seemed to bounce off his backside into the back of the net, and that was the decisive moment. You know, Shaneman held on to win the competition for the second time in 7 years, and it was the only goal of the game.
That's right. It was one of those games that you could see it really from the outset. It was a very, very poor first half, and you could tell. It was going to be one of those games that was either going to be won by a moment of magic or a howler, and unfortunately, it was a mistake that did it. It was a weak back pass from Lewis Story towards the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper's kind of rushing out, connected with the ball first, but Gabby Cook played to him for.
If you're a striker, they all count, don't they? That's it. Yeah, and
that's right. Yeah.
At the end of the day,
intuition.
The record books say he scored rewarded at Wembley.
Exactly. I'm not sure how much he knew about it, but certainly when he was wheeling away, that was his moment. And in the end, it won the FA Trophy. But for Halifax, well, I thought Gateshead for plugging away. They had so many injuries, didn't they, and contractual unavailabilities. It was a bit of a nightmare for Mike Williamson. He had a very, very young bench at his disposal, and that gave it a go second half. They just didn't have quality in the final third, which hadn't really eluded them for so long. You know, they've been in such great form over the second half of the season, as had Halifax, should be pointed out. But they just eluded them right to the end, and they just didn't have enough really to force a period of extra time. But by which time, everyone I think had had a tremendous day, and I don't think anyone would begrudge Halifax Town their victory.
No. It, in those post-match press conferences that we do after the game as well, it's always hard speaking to those losing managers. But hey, even they weren't, they weren't downbeat, were they? I think Mike Williamson was a little bit upset that I suggested that maybe he wasn't as excitable as I was expecting. But I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? If you're one of those losing managers, you build yourself up for that best football day out ever. You find yourself on the losing side, and I sense with the Newport Pagnell Town manager, Gary Flynn, he was as honest as he's always been, having been the winning man last season. But you almost sense it was his final bow from him, because he didn't, just the way he answered a couple of the questions. And indeed, it was for him and his assistant, both leaving the club this week and taking on that vacant post at Leyton Town.
That's right. There was one question which obviously I think it might be one of the local journalists asked him, and about his future, and I thought, well, that's a bit of an odd question to ask, just literally a few minutes after losing an FA Trophy tie. But as you say, he just the way he answered it, it made sort of made you wonder that maybe it wasn't such an odd question. And then of course 24 hours later we find out that him and Gary Chance have left, and we seem to fit into place, didn't it, from there? But I mean, what an outstanding run! What a way to go out. Mm. Yes, it was a defeat, but he's also led his club to back to back Wembley experiences. He had his finest hour, didn't he? 12 months ago, it wasn't quite to be his day this time, but he's still got to do something that not many managers can say that they've done, and that's lead a team out to Wembley. I'm sure this was probably something that he'd been contemplating for a long time. Leighton Town parted with their manager, didn't they? Very soon after the season finished, so that the vacancy was there, and obviously they're looking at step four football for the first time next season, and they're a big fish in that area. So it was a good fit. Sort of looking back now, and good luck to Gary. Really good guy. He was excellent to the press and to everyone at Wembley on Sunday, as he was last year. And wish him all the best in step four football.
Yeah, and that managerial merry-go-round, it's been in yo-yo action in certain places this week. Did you see Isthmian South East? Steve Watts left Hythe Town as manager, suggesting he was forced out by certain board members, only to be back in the job, I think, within a day. So that'll be an interesting one to monitor throughout the summer. Missed on last week's show, the big returns to management of Tim Flowers at Gloucester, and we briefly mentioned Mark Stimpson returning to Grays Athletic, but you obviously cover both perfectly in the non-league paper. And I'm sure there's going to be a few more big returns of current out-of-work managers in the coming days, if not coming weeks.
Yes, right. It hasn't stopped, has it? We usually get a couple of weeks where the merry-go-round tends to stop churning quite as fast, but it just hasn't stopped. It's everyone's doing their business from their holidies, I think, by the look of it.
Is that an advantage or a disadvantage of smartphones? Maybe I think back in the past it was done face to face, and now I'm not saying that these people in particular have been sacked or resigned via text, but it does make it a bit easier to do it wherever you are.
That's right. The old days of we can't talk to you now because I'm on holiday for 2 weeks. Come and see us, starters. All those days are gone now. I think most of the business is all done on WhatsApp now, and what have you. Actually, in fairness, it's good for us because it means that it does keep going, and we can still get hold of people, and we can try our best to bring you the stories as they happen. But as I say, some of these appointments just keep on surprising us. As you say, the Steve Watt one was a very odd one. Claiming that there was no such disagreement with Steve, and asking him back, and I'm not quite sure where they are with that at the moment. But on a personal front, it's great to see Tim Flowers back. What a great guy he is. Great manager, and wish him all the best at Gloucester City. I think that'd be quite a nice fit.
Yeah, and a couple of others. Probably not the time to be a manager in Oxfordshire at the moment. We've seen two resigning this week. Chris Allen from relegated North Lee, and Andy Wing at Banbury United. He seemingly done so well, but I sense that perhaps reached a threshold at the fan-owned club, and I fully understand why fan-owned clubs maybe sometimes don't want to push the envelope, because that's why they're a fan-owned club. They don't want to put themselves in peril that other clubs might be willing to take.
That's right. I mean, it's a difficult situation. Banbury just had the most amazing season, didn't they, last year? With 100-plus points, and they won their league. They won a Southern League by a huge amount. Got themselves into International League North, and as we know, that's a very tough, very competitive division. So it was interesting to see how they fared there. and they fared fine. Yes, but they were playing teams with a lot bigger budgets, but they were more than holding their own. And yeah, it got to the situation, obviously, there where they the next move would have been a very big one for the club. You know, do they go hell for leather and try and catch those boys at the top, or do they try to be a bit more sustainable and stick rather than twist? Difficult situation. Obviously, it's easy to talk about without having
the insight and without having
the figures in front of you and the inside knowledge exactly. But unfortunately, it's a shame for Banbury that Andy Wing's gone. What a great job he's done.
I just hope it's not a loss for non-league, because I'm sure there's plenty of league clubs that would be willing to take him up and get him to run some back. Academies or similar like that, but I think he's a great asset for non-league as well, because he's one of those very open and honest managers and accessible managers, and we've got lots of those, but we can't afford to be losing too many of them either.
No, that's right. But as you alluded to, I think we'll see Andy Wing back pretty quickly. He's a guy with a very good CV. As you say, he is one of football's nice guys. Very, very, very accessible. Very understanding and very knowledgeable as well. He's done some great things in the game, and I think he'll be back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and there was one other great thing this week though. The National Game Awards. After we retreated on Sunday to the non-league finals day, you wonder how non-league could do things better. But you guys did. The National Game Awards. It was the great, the good, and the even better assembled in a room, and it was just a great afternoon to celebrate non-league football. There was awards, of course there were, but it was more. Just nice to see the people that put in effort or help raise the non-league game this season, all enjoying each other's company.
Yes, very, very much so. Thank you for your kind words. It always is the highlight of our calendar this year. Even much so, it was fantastic to see so many people that we'd invited turn up. We know it's a tricky time of year, because it's the only time of year where a lot of people like to go on their holidays after a long hard season. We totally understand that. So to get any award winners or guests to join us as possible, it's not always easy. But this year was great. I mean, we had so many. So many people that who were honoured or sort of guests of honour on the day come to join us, and it was tremendous. We had a really good afternoon. You get a bit boozy towards the end, but that's what it's all about. And as you say, it was a celebration of non-league football. We had some great speeches. Mark Harris. He was excellent. Alison Schofield, the fan of the year from Oldham Athletic, she was talking to us about her game too, and her work with that particular organisation. That was a tremendous speech, and I couldn't name all of them. It was so good to see McCauley Langstaff collect his Player of the Year. We had young Kellen Fisher from Bromley collects his Young Player of the Year. he looks even younger than he does on these. Looks even younger than he does on the pictures of him playing. It made me feel very old, but what a nice humble young man he is. And good luck to him. But in general, it was just a tremendous afternoon, and already we're looking forward to next year.
Yeah, I mean, alongside Matt McCauley and Kellen, we also had the Golden Boot AFC Sudbury's Namdi Nwachakwu. I think you say it much better than I do. He certainly tried to teach me how to say it. But and we had collecting on behalf of Manager of the Year Luke Williams. We had old friend of the show, old friend of the paper, England Sea goalkeeper coach Mick Payne. And we learned something about him and Luke Williams' connection that I wasn't aware of. I know Mick knows everybody in football, but...
Yeah, I wasn't aware of this either. This was, in fact, I think Matt Badcock was Geneva. We found out about this on the morning of the NGAs when we were deciding which there were a couple of sponsors who couldn't turn up, so there was a couple of awards that that we were going to ask people to present, and one of those awards was for Manager of the Year. So who better, you know, than to get his former school teacher, would you believe, Nick Payne, to go up and recall some of the days of when Luke Williams was first learning his trade. And he said to me, he said, actually, I don't think I would have picked him out as a manager. He said, but wow, yeah, well, what a way to make a name for yourself. It was a tremendous season for Notts County, and Luke Williams was a worthy recipient. And as I say, always good to see Mick Payne. He's one of non-league football's true characters, and he told that story very well.
Yeah, and also, yeah, step 3-4 player of the year was Liam Hughes from Worksop Town, who's obviously had the success with Cambridge United in the past as well. And it was only on my journey home, and I was thinking, we're at the home of AFC Wimbledon. There, we've got four top strikers amongst those winners, and the England C goalkeeping coach. We should have had a penalty shootout.
And we had Nathan Ashmore as well.
We did indeed. I forget about Nathan.
He's not bad between the sticks himself.
We missed an opportunity. I think we could have been streaming worldwide and everybody would have wanted to watch it. It would have been... They are greats of their time as well. All of them. Not wanting to forget Nathan Ashmore because he'd never forgive me anyway. But a proper giant of the non-league game. And I think you actually said to him, he could have won that goalkeeper of the year award 5 or 6 times over.
I was actually amazed that he hadn't won it, to be honest. I was doing a bit of research on Nathan, and I said to Matt, "Are you sure he's not won it? He's been there or thereabouts for so long as arguably the best goalkeeper outside of the Football League, and we checked and he hasn't. So, I mean, that was a little bit of a no-brainer for us. You know, the fact that he conceded the fewest goals in the National League with Bournemouth. Again, this year, he's what a great guy, what a great great character. He's happy in his football as well. There's no big sort of bravado about it. He spoke about the banter he has with the away fans. You know, so he maybe gives himself that effect that there is a bravado, and there really, really isn't. He's just a great character between the sticks, and I don't know how old Nathan is now. I think he's only sort of early 30s, so there's plenty of time for him left, and I'm sure he'll be at Bournemouth next year. And if he's at Bournemouth, then he's gonna be there or thereabouts battling again. And who knows? We could even be inviting him back at AFC Wimbledon again next year.
Indeed, and great goalkeepers. You say that bravado, it's always an air of confidence. Not necessarily cockiness, just confidence. And for a man that covers his hands every week with gloves to wear a suit without socks, I mean, that's confidence. That's confidence.
You've got to be able to pull that off, haven't you?
And he does it. He does it so
well. I'm about 20 years too old for that.
He did it so well. And as you did with the NGAs this week, and as you've done all season, because... Yeah, there's still plenty to report, I guess, in this week's paper. We're speaking Thursday evening. I'm sure there'll be some other breaking news that will always hit us that you'll be rounding up on for the weekend's paper. But anything else in particular we should be looking out for this weekend?
Plenty of NGAs, plenty of Vars and Trophy final. We've got one eye on what's going on at Southend at the moment. There could be something in the water there. So yeah, hopefully they can sort themselves out and there can be a brighter future for them to look forward to. So same with at Scunthorpe as well. We're keeping an eye on them. They've just made some a raft of amazing signings over the last couple of weeks. They're clearly going for it in National League North next year. So yeah, we'll be looking at them, and obviously all the ongoing managers coming and going, and a few players as well. There's a few big player movements that have been very interested in non-league over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, there'll be a bit of that as well.
Well, we look forward to reading all about that on Sunday. Sadly, it's probably the last time we'll speak on air for maybe a few weeks. I'm sure we'll be speaking anyway in between. But I just want to say thanks for all your help this season, because it is vital to we all have different insights, and sometimes your contacts are far superior to mine, and your knowledge as well. It is great to bring everybody together and allow the whole non-league community to enjoy and learn as well, because that's the only reason we do this, is to sort of educate and entertain.
Thank you very much. I echo that in your direction as well. The non-league show is tremendous. We get some really good feedback from it, and both online and from our readers in person. So thanks ever so much for reading the paper, and thanks ever so much for listening to non-league show. And between us, hopefully we'll continue to provide you with the latest of the game that we all love. So thanks ever so much, and enjoy your break, and hope to see you next season.
Thank you very much, John. Take care.
Thank you.
That's it then for this week, and indeed this season. We may be back briefly if there are some big issues, big breaking news. Otherwise, do stay alert to social media for small changes, maybe even big changes that might come about before the new season starts. But we will be back with you once matters are underway later on in the summer. So thank you to all of my guests, as ever. And more importantly, thank you all for listening. Don't forget, you can join in throughout the week. Follow us on social media at Non-League Show, and myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And you can find us and our back catalogue on Audio Boom and also Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Litter Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Hats off to all of those behind the scenes helping keep football clubs ticking along this summer, whether you're planning, organising, administrating, cutting trees back, painting, preparing your ground. It is all essential and it is all appreciated. Please do stay safe. Enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production, JIBBA, JABBA.